Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. I'm from at the Newspapers World International Headquarters. Well, Julie's at Westminster.
The Westminster headquarters. That's right. True straight up, the Chuck Bonnywell, Julie Hayden Show.
True straight up, brought to you by?
Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, advanced acupuncture and Chinese medicine. Actually, Chuck, you're seeing Dr. Jack Schaefer tomorrow. It helps with your golf swing. Also, happytrees.co and Denver Cenogenics and Dr. Julie McCallan. Yeah, this is actually the last day, the last time you'll be broadcasting from this world headquarters, because we're moving the world headquarters about a half a block away.
New and spectacular digs.
That's right. New and spectacular digs. Hey, so a lot to talk about today, and we have no guests. So we have plenty of room for people if you want to go ahead and comment in the chat section if you're joining us on Zoom. If you ever want to join us on Zoom, I always forget to say this. The actual Zoom number is 209-576-423, and that's 209-576-423. You just go to zoom.us and you would put that in at the meeting number. And also, if you want to call in, 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. We wanted to start off, Chuck. I mean, we're going to talk about the CDC wants to make our kids all get vaccinated with the COVID shot. Carrie Lake, another day, another smackdown of the establishment Republican or the establishment liberal media. And then the Danchenko trial, a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about the election. But I wanted to bring you this breaking news, guys. On Monday, we told you how the Hickenlooper campaign was making fun of our favorite Rhino Senate candidate, Joe O'Day, because he did an interview and the political reporter noted that he was drinking beer that he had poured over a glass of ice. And they're like, who does that, right? And then John Hickenlooper, of course, who owned the Wincrew Brewery, was kind of making fun of him. Well, today, the O'Day people, they needed to just fire their consultants, Chuck. So they're putting out a tweet that I guess he thinks is going to address that. It's he and Joni Ernst, who's looking very corporate, right? And they're both drinking beer in a glass of ice, saying, oh, Michael Bennett, you should try this. It's like, are you kidding me? Number one, nobody does drink beer over ice. Number two, Joni Ernst. It's like, did you think, oh, I know, people aren't sure that I'm a traitor rhino, so I'll just make sure and have me and Joni. It's as bad as was, but remember when Elizabeth Warren was pretending like she was drinking beer and her husband kind of wandered in the back? It was like that. It's like, Joe, just drop it, you know, just drop it.
Well, the other big event we missed last night, Julie, was 710's Rescue Colorado, in which they brought in Hugh Hewitt, their former MSNBC television radio guy, and to join all of the great candidates, including Joe O'Day. They were charging for it because the fly-in Hugh Hewitt cost money, but apparently they didn't get much of a response, so they returned the money and said anybody in the world could come, and they had at the event center down in Castle Rock or Douglas County. And they had to, you know, use those curtains across that just to make the sheer of the room. They only got a couple hundred people.
Ooh.
They had George Brockler got up and said, you know, you need to vote for O'Day. He says, you know, if you had a fly in your soup, would you throw away all the soup? And everybody's going, what?
What? I mean, a fly in the soup. So this is a Senate candidate saying he would actively campaign against the person who was most likely to be the Republican presidential nominee. So it's, I mean, he could have shut up. And he went out of his way.
Had rat in your soup? Would you just not drink it? Yeah.
If your soup was floating with poison, would you, you know, it's like, give me a break. Oh, that's why they only had 200 people there, I guess I would say.
It's, you know, it's just a lib fest and you know, the enthusiasm in this first week of voting, yeah. I guess, dead in the doornail, which got me thinking about writing about mail-in ballots, voting on election day, and the party is stupid. So in 2001, I really started getting involved in state politics as a lobbyist down at the state capitol. Bill Owens was the governor. Republican registration was increasing every year over Democrats. It looked like Colorado was turning into a red state. Subsequent to that, the Democrats began, with the help of the Republicans, changing all the rules to ensure that they would win.
Blueprint Colorado.
Yeah, in Colorado. So the Democrats put on the ballot saying, let's do all mail-in voting, which was encouraged by various Republicans. The voters overwhelmingly voted it down. So Donetta Davidson, in 2004, instituted a rule for no excuse absentee ballots, which was the beginning of the end of the Republican Party in Colorado. They then in 2013, when they controlled all the House, the Senate, and the governor's office, said, to hell with the Colorado people. We're going to adopt mail-in ballots. Now, the Republicans then put on the ballot, wanted to get rid of it right away. No, they did absolutely nothing. Then the Democrats go, I know, we have to get rhinos. So if Republicans win anything, we got to make sure that it's a rhino. So 2016, they came up with open primaries or semi-open primaries where Democrats get to vote, or rather independents get to vote in either major party. Since the Democrats usually don't have more than one candidate with the exception, they all go into the Republican one, and you end up with the Joe O'Days of the world. Did we try to get rid of that? Did we go to court? Did any of those? Nope.
Well, you did.
Well,
you and,
I tried
you
to.
And Pat Cage and Ben Nicholson and Neil Mathai and Joe and, Jimmy Mack.
Yeah, and Chrissy Burton Brown shot that down, even though it was unanimous from the
Republican Party
Senatorial Committee, not Senatorial, Central Committee.
Right.
And then they started ballot harvesting in 2018. Do we go to court to stop ballot harvesting? That did in Delaware. No. So it comes to this year, and we tell people, I know, this system stinks. Vote in person on election day, which guarantees low turnout.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I plan to most of my adult life, or all my adult life, vote in all major elections. But there have been times when all of a sudden emergency came up and I couldn't vote. I didn't have time to go down to the polls or whatever else. So all you're assuring is that you're going to get less. Democrats, on the other hand, say, go ahead and vote as early as you possibly can and hand your ballot to trusted ballot harvesters.
That result, NGOs.
Yeah, that
and any result, other ballots you happen to find laying around too.
Yeah, and additional ones that, you know, ones that just happen to be there. And so they can poll. They go, okay, who's voted and who hasn't? Okay, 2 weeks in. Then they come to your house, the phone, everything else. Republicans, you try to do that now with the way they've recommended it, is to say, oh, I plan to vote on election day. Now that includes a lot of people who just aren't going to vote at all, right? But oh, I'm going to vote on election day. So you can't poll. You can't say who's going to vote and not vote and try to get them to the polls or get them their ballot.
It hurts the get out the vote thing. Well, you know,
enormously, but more than that. And so you've got Independence Institute's John Caldera, who is the one-eyed man in the line of the blind of Republicans. And he wrote an article saying, hey, you got to
harvest ballots
or you're going to lose. And that's right. If one party ballot harvest states and the other doesn't, the party that doesn't is going to lose. It's just that simple. So we got a red wave coming. We got candidates nobody wants, at least on the Republican side. We're not going to get out the vote, and we're not going to do ballot harvesting. You can't do get out of vote when you only have one day, a couple hours to do it. So we'll lose badly. Maybe we'll make some minor gains. Maybe win the 8th congressional district. But if you can't make major gains in 2022 with this huge red wave, you probably never will.
So, let me read some of the comments here. I think this is regarding the KNUS thing. Johnny J, running for HD5, says, I tried to watch the program last night, fell asleep. Jim Jackson on O'Day says, no to O'Day. I would rather have a known enemy than a so-called friend who will stab you in the back. And here's the thing, back to the O'Day stuff, and Chuck, let me just, because, I mean, I agree with all the stuff you're saying, but I wanted to get hopeful here in a second. But, okay. We're talking about Joe O'Day, you know, going on CNN and just kind of blurting out, intentionally blurting blurting out, and not as a response to a question, but just to make sure he got it in, that he would actively campaign against Trump, right? What's interesting is the places who have not covered that. Colorado, Complete Colorado, Colorado Politics, Colorado Sun, the Denver Gazette, all of these organizations that are controlled essentially by establishment Republicans, except for the Colorado Sun. Right. But they, I don't know why they skipped it, but the, sort of the Anschutz controlled one, the establishment controlled sites, none of them covered. I mean, you didn't hear Colorado or Complete Colorado or Colorado Peak Politics. None of them covered the Joe Day statements, which means they all know that that would hurt him more than help him too. But who did cover it were all of the liberal websites. Right. And they all pointed it out because they also know it's going to, it's going to hurt him, which is what they want. So, you know, I agree with you. It is depressing in beyond depressing. It's just, it is what it is. So let's turn to more fun stuff, Chuck. There was today a poll that came out, a morning consult, Politico. 93% of registered voters say that, you know, the bad economy is something that they're most concerned about. 81% and 67% of them blame Joe Biden and his policies and his energy policies. And then 81% said the economy would be a major factor in how they vote. And I think there's a lot of that. I think there are a couple of factors. There's been a shift in all of the national polls, even Politico. Everybody is saying it's looking better for Republicans. I think that's in part that it always did. But I think as you get closer to the election, I think the polling companies, don't they start shifting a little bit more from registered voters to likely voters?
Yeah, unless you're Fox News.
Well, yeah, then you're not. So I think it's always been that way. And I think that that is very good news on a national level for Republicans. But I think
it's going to be a lot of fun November 8th, listening to the returns, as long as you just don't turn on anything about the local results.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, and you look at in Colorado, I guess in the House, you know, there's 65 total House seats. There's roughly 16 that might be competitive. Right now, there's 41 Democrats to 24 Republicans. So it's impossible to gain control. And of the 16, I guess, that are considered possibly competitive, 13 are held by Democrats. So it's unlikely we're going to make much gains in the Colorado House. The Colorado Senate right now, 21 Dems, 14 Republicans. Thank you, Kevin Priola. Seven up for grabs, so to speak, there. But even that, I don't think it's, I mean, that would take like a miracle, right, to change that. Unlike the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate, the Colorado House and Senate, so it's unlikely to have very much at all happen there, right?
Right. Maybe some minor gains, but in a wave election year, if you can't make more than minor gains, you're probably in deep trouble.
Well, and, you know, and we'll talk about this after the election. And, you know, hopefully we're wrong, right? Hopefully that there is a red wave in Colorado. But if there's not,
get elected,
yeah, if there's not, and if it is as bad as it's looking like it's going to be in Colorado, you know, I know the donors' situation isn't going to change, but I think, you know, it's time. Well, it's well beyond time to hold the establishment leadership and say, give it up, right? Just give it up. It's not working. And there's too much at stake. Colorado's being destroyed by these policies. And I think you just have some of these donors who don't care, right?
Well, Phil Anschutz is a wonderful gentleman personally, but is a Liz Cheney Republican. He gave a full amount to Liz Cheney. So that tells you where the donor class in Colorado comes from. They're Liz Cheney Republicans.
Well, yeah. And then again, you got Joe O'Day making tweets with Joni Ernst.
He's a Liz Cheney Republican.
Right. I mean, when you look at Joni Ernst, because I did, I'm like, she's a rhino, I think, so I researched it. Yeah, I mean, she voted for federal gun laws. She's down the list, right? She voted with Mitt Romney, Liz Cheney, you know. And so that's what he's picking to drink beer poured over ice with. So it's like, hey, you know. This is from Charlene. So if Heidi wins, she'll have to do stuff by executive order. There you go, Charlene. Which is what Polis did, right? Executive order the heck out of everything and see what we can do. But I'm not hopeful on that. I like Heidi Ginnall, and I'll be voting for Heidi Ginnall, but I don't.
I'll be voting for Heidi Ginnall, and I think she did a good job in picking a lieutenant governor. I think she did a very good job in the debates, but too little too late. I mean, she spent a year and a half just doing beautiful Colorado.
Right.
I don't know who was her campaign consultant on that, but it was, you know, she should have been doing red meat like Carrie Lake from day one.
Well, you know, and I think exactly, and we'll talk about Carrie Lake in a second, because I think she's just done a great job. And that's how Republican candidates need to run, right? This is from Sandra. Listen to Dick Wadhams on the Dan Campus radio. So, Sandra, he has such a POS, absolutely cannot stand him. We really need to get rid of Republican establishment. And then from Steve, does a lieutenant governor candidate really matter? Not really.
No, but at least she got a...
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you have to pick one, so you might as well pick a good one, and I think she did. Charlene says, Heidi will executive order Colorado beautiful day. Charlene, that's good. Well, I wanted to turn something else now, which again underscores why state legislatures are so important. I don't know if you guys have been following this, but the CDC, a committee, is voting today and tomorrow on essentially adding the COVID vaccine to the recommended list of childhood vaccines. And what that would do in practicality are two important things. Number one, that's what the states use to determine what vaccines kids have to go to school, right? There's a list of vaccines that kids have to go to school. So that would put for many states, and particularly blue states like Colorado, you just know that the Democrats there, I mean, that anything that hurts people, they're all for, right? Let's get fentanyl all in there. Let's have safe injection sites. Let's do all of this stuff. You know, they would be totally happy to acquire schools.
You know, if they did that in Colorado, you know, rather be going to private school or homeschool, but we're not going to put them, shot with those.
And then the other thing it would do, which is the real driving factor, because you're like, why is anyone, people are over COVID. Why on earth would the Democrats and the Biden administration want to do something that would be so massively unpopular? And that is because the other thing it would do is it would give the big pharma companies, with all of this news coming out about adverse effects, right? It would give them continued liability protection. And that's what it's all about. And Tucker Carlson had a brilliant doctor on talking about this, and I'm going to play that for you. So, Thomas, if we could please play the Tucker CDC bite.
This week, the CDC's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices is expected to add the COVID-19 vax to the list of required childhood vaccines. If this happens, your children will not be able to attend school without taking the COVID shot. Now, the problem is there is no medical basis for this decision whatsoever. Even the CEO of Moderna has just admitted that most people do not need the booster. And in fact, in this country, it's like 4% of adults have gotten the booster because they know now. We're quoting, "It's going to be similar to the flu," he said. So what is this exactly? Dr. Marty McCarry is a man we trust. He's a professor at Johns Hopkins University. He joins us tonight to assess. Doctor, thanks so much for coming on. Is it an overstatement to say there's really no medical justification for this?
Well, there's certainly no clinical data. They've got data from 8 mice on the Omicron vaccine in young people. And the child vaccine story is essentially a story of bypassing clinical data, which is why many of us are asking, why even have an FDA? Why do we even do clinical trials? Right now, we've got pharma saying, hey, we did a study. We're going to give you the top line of the press release. We're going to call the White House. And the White House then calls the FDA and the CDC and tells them to get in line. They bought 170 million doses of this new Omicron vaccine. There has never been a vaccine added to the child immunization schedule without solid clinical evidence that it reduces disease significantly in the community.
So let's take a look at, because I did some research on this, Chuck, because like you said, this one hits home kind of like, right? And so right now, basically for most schools, although there's a long kind of list of recommended vaccines, right? But right now that you're required to have a hepatitis B, diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis, that's whooping cough, measles, mumps, rubella, polio, and chicken pox, right? That's what you're required. All of those, after massive amounts of study, all of those are significant serious diseases, right? And I think with the COVID vaccine, there is so much we don't know. We're learning every day about new possible adverse effects, but we do know a few things. We do know, number one, that it doesn't prevent you from getting COVID. It doesn't prevent you from transmitting COVID. It doesn't last very long, just a matter of a few months. It's not going to be good against the variable. So they're going to make you do it every year then, right?
And there's no proof that it makes a milder case of COVID-19. There's no empirical evidence for that. They just make it. They just, because as with most similar diseases, it gets to be easier, more easily transmitted, and it's lesser in effect. So go, oh, it's right. less. Well, of course, that's because Omicron is going to be less. It's going right. to be easier to catch, but it's going to be less lethal.
Exactly. Well, and it's completely unnecessary. And this from Stephen, they didn't buy all those doses if they didn't plan to force people to take them. Exactly. And from Sandra, kids are over vaccinated, time to rein this in. Well, and I mean, I think in red states, like for instance, in Florida, they already said you can't mandate vaccines, so they would be safe there. But I think this is something we need to be on top of, because we have seen the Democrats, they don't care about the science. They don't care about anything except whatever their power and their money is, right? So you could say to yourself, well, certainly they would care that this would be enormously unpopular. I don't think they care. Do you, Chuck? I mean, they just kind of care about protecting.
They got ballot harvesting coming up, you know, no problem.
Right. And, well, and then Sandra's point is, you know, kids are already over-vaccinated, it's time to rein it in. I think, Sandra, you're absolutely right on that. And this is going to even hurt, you know, I mean, Colorado has a fairly rambunctious anti-vax group of people anyway. And all this is going to do is add fuel. And I'll tell you what. So the other day I had to take Rev in to get his annual physical, right? And he's in sixth grade. And we went through, and yes, he's had the hepatitis, he's had the diphtheria, tetanus, blah, 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 measles, mumps, polio, chicken pox. And then they said, you know, has he had the COVID vaccine? And I said, no. And they said, do you want it? And I said, no. And they said, but what about the flu shot? And I said, no. And then they said, well, do you want the HPV, which is that one for sexually transmitted diseases? And I said, no, he's 11. And then they said, well, you know what? It's time for his booster on those regular ones that they always get. Do you want to do the booster today? And I sat there for a second and I said, no, you know, because I thought to myself, we've just run down this whole list of vaccines that are completely useless. And I think for so long, I had accepted, well, you know, the CDC and the school and the doctors say that they need this list of vaccines. And maybe they do the ones they've been getting. But all of a sudden, it's like, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to say, no, we're going to give him a vaccine without more research. And I just think there would be all hell to pay in Colorado and in public schools if they said kids had to have a COVID vaccine in order to go to school.
I mean, they've shown they can shut down the entire economy for no reason.
Exactly, exactly. And this is from Sandra. Good for you, Julie. And this is from Charlene and Stephen are talking about Russian Bolsheviks. It's like you and Peter. We trusted all these people, not anymore. Well, exactly. And I think the CDC.
Well, I go to a very good skin doctor, but I was listening to his message, you know, confirming my appointment, saying, you know, I should wear a mask. We follow all CDC guidelines. I feel like going to him, don't say that on the phone.
Yeah.
Not say that is not something to, oh, good, you follow all CDC guidelines. You're going to get us killed.
Well, and that's, I think, where, you know, this is, it's a bad idea on so many levels, but in particular, and I think that, okay, so if you're a parent, you know, maybe, you know, you've kind of spoken up a little bit, but you've left your kid in school over the whole pronoun issue, right? You've left your kid in school over the critical race theory thing, because those are the kinds of things, at least as a family and a parent, you can address at home, right? But if you are talking about forcing your children to take a vaccine that has no proven benefit and an increased evidence that it has significant adverse effects, I mean, that's a whole different thing. You can't address that, right? So we let Rev, he's forced to get the COVID-19 vaccine, and all of a sudden, boom, he gets myocarditis and keels over dead, you know, on a basketball court or something. I mean, those are the kind of things that parents would be like, you can only push us so far. But like you've said, we've seen with the Democrats and a Democrat-controlled legislature in Colorado, that's not going to necessarily stop them.
Nope, it's truly scary.
And this is also from Charlene. It's up to 36 injections now on tiny neurological systems before the age of 6, where it used to be 6 injections before the age of 6. And then Stephen says, Charlene, that's right. But how many suffered and died before that happened? My grandma, back to the Bolsheviks. Stephen and Charlene, you're talking about Bolsheviks. And then from Sandra, they're destroying the body's own immune system. Yeah, I do, and I think it's just going to have a lot of negative consequences. But I don't, again, you know, they knew that it was created in a lab and they lied about that. They knew that the messages, masks didn't work and they lied about that. They knew, I mean, all of this stuff, right? This is research based on eight mice. But you know what they're going to do, Chuck? Oh, Charlene says, no more talking Bolsheviks. You can in your own little chat. You guys go rogue over there all the time anyway. I don't know. I just think this would be a bridge too far, but I don't think that's going to stop the CDC or the Biden administration.
No, it clearly isn't. They clearly could care less what the American people think, and they've got good reason not to care what the American people think.
All right, you want to switch over, though, to somebody who does care what the American people think? There's a lot to talk about today, and that's Carrie Lake.
Oh, I love Carrie Lake.
You know, again, all Republican candidates should learn from her. But this, I wanted to pull this bite because we had yesterday, Peter was at the world headquarters of the paper to do his column. And Peter and I briefly got into a discussion about the election deniers, because Peter said election deniers. And I'm like, what do you mean by election denier? What exactly is being denied that you don't agree with, right? And he's like, oh, he does like all of those guys. He's like, I don't want to fight. I don't want to talk about it. It's like, because you can't, right? They've made up this term election denier. And we talked about this the other day. The Denver Post did a whole story on, if you're a Republican poll watcher or election judge, you're an election denier, and therefore you might be a domestic terrorist and the FBI has to come arrest you, right? And we shouldn't be able to, yeah, I mean, you know, they're fear mongering basically is what they're doing. But here is Carrie Lake at a news conference, just smacking down the corporate media. If we could please play the Carrie Lake soundbite.
Here's 150 examples of Democrats denying election results. Oh, wow, look at this. This is from Joe Biden's press secretary. Reminder, Brian Kemp stole the gubernatorial election from Georgians and Stacey Abrams. Democrats saying that. Is that an election denier? Oh, look at this. Just heard Republican Ryan Costello said it would be difficult for Stacey Abrams to win because she lost her state bid, but yet she's still claiming she never lost. This is outright. Hillary Clinton, Trump is an illegitimate president. Is she an election denier? This one says, was the 2016 election legitimate? It now definitely is a question worth asking. That's the Los Angeles Times. So it's okay for Democrats to question elections, but it's not okay for Republicans. It's a crock of BS. Every one of you knows it. We have our freedom of speech, and we're not going to relinquish it to a bunch of fake news propagandists. If you want a copy of these, I'm sure that Anthony would help you get a copy and help you learn how to be journalists, but look it up. It's been happening for a long time. Since 2000, people have questioned the legitimacy of our elections, and all we're asking is that in the future, we don't have that have to happen anymore. Okay. When I'm governor, we're going to make sure we have honest elections. We want the Democrats, the independents, and the Republicans to all know that their vote counted. We want fair, honest, and transparent elections, and we're going to deliver that for the people. But just remember, guys, this is one page after Hillary Clinton says George W. Bush was selected president, not elected. So let's start, if you're going to start throwing around terms like election denier, let's remember who the other election deniers were: Hillary Clinton and all the Democrats.
There you go. Now, I'm going to guarantee you that none of those reporters included that in their story, right?
No.
Well, and just,
you know, Kelly Ward, who also ran for governor, but she's the party chair. She came up here to support a candidate running for Congress.
Laurel Eimer.
And she was tremendous. And I can just imagine what color would be like if we had instead of Chrissy Burton Brown, we had Kelly Ward, and instead of Miss Beautiful Colorado, we had Lake, because those just are tremendous. I mean, they're just tremendous candidates.
Well, and they show, Carrie Lake is beginning to lead now, right? And sure. I mean, the thing is the candidates who are strong like that, And the thing is the facts are on their side. Because in looking at this, I just today, just sort of, you know, quickly browsing over just the various news feeds, there were four stories with election issues, right? So this whole election denier thing that we have the gold standard in Denver, the Denver clerk and recorder's office screwed up the translation on some of the ballot issues, right? So they're having to spend $191,000 to send out new ballots or new ballot information to correct that, right? So what happens if the people don't get it? You could question that ballot before we even started voting. It was screwed up. Jenna Griswold, we've talked about the 30,000 postcards to non-citizens. Now she assures us that, oh yeah, we will make sure that they don't vote. But how on earth, she has never explained how she's going to do that. And we had J. Christian Adams on the other day who said basically there isn't any way to ascertain that, right? Another one.
You got to give them credit. I mean, and, you know, we have no word for those who support fraudulent elections. We don't have fraudulent election, but they have gotten, you know, their phrase election denier. So that's in the if you question Biden's election, you're an election denier. If you question anything else, you're just a good old patriotic American. But we have no similar phrase of those who support fraudulent elections.
That's a good point. Well, let me just finish my other examples, though. In Arizona, the Secretary of State Hobbs was running against Carrie Lake, right? Mailed out some 6,000 ballots that only had the federal races on them. Now, And then and this is the only good thing. There was a poll, though, today. This is a story in AM Greatness that showed more than half of the people surveyed said that they did not have complete confidence in the election. So the good news is, Chuck, that in spite of all this trying to censor you over election denier. I mean, like I said, Facebook put us in Facebook jail for reposting the Jenna Griswold story, which is a legitimate fact-check news story, right? And they said it was misinformation and misleading. In spite of all their attempts to censor things and to ban people and to kick them off of platforms, I think a lot of people do have a healthy skepticism. How do you read the story saying, you know, you get a postcard saying you can vote, then you get one saying, oh, wait, you can't vote. You know, that's reason enough to be skeptical right there.
Oh, yeah. In Colorado, we have the worst, you know, Ken Buck, Pam Anderson, Joe O'Day. You can just go down the line. I mean, the establishment got all these rhinos. And so even if we won, what did we win?
Right. Well, and here, Stephen is continuing the Bolshevik things. Sandra Carrie Lake brings it in and scares the Bolshevik Democrats. From Sandra, watch Carrie Lake on Louder with Crowder. YouTube shut him down for a while. That's how great she is. Charlene, I know Colorado could be Arizona, but it's beaten down like Arkansas is after all of those Clinton years, beaten down. From Jim, with Carrie, I think we have a Trump-like politician who has his heart and his drive. And Stephen, an election denier is somebody who doesn't toe the party line. Charlene says our phrase should be fraudulent election denier, right? You know, yeah. And then Stephen, and this is true, Stephen, you hit it here. As long as there are mail-in ballots, electronic voting system, no voter ID, all Democrat ideas, there will never be a safe and secure election. You know, and what it is, Chuck, and you talk about that, maybe you can circle back around because you talk about it in your column coming out in the newspaper. The tricky thing is that a lot of this stuff, it's not illegal, really, but it's just rigging. The Democrats rigged the rules in order to benefit themselves, and the idiot Republicans went along with it. And in the meantime,
it helped Instagram. And Diana Davidson, after she was all for mail-in ballot, Republican Secretary of State, and when they didn't do that, she imposed rules for no excuse absentee ballots. I mean, the level, you know, the Don Quorums, the various Republicans that are really Democrats, and they try to do that. I mean, they teach people to how to get into office who are really Democrats, you know, mouth the words and they get in. Barbara Kirchmeier's one. I mean, she talks about how conservative she is, or she used to. She had one of the worst records when she was down there, close, almost a Democrat. And so, whoopee, we get her elected in the 8th Congressional District where we live. Wow, what a representative. We'll be all set, won't we?
Well, and again, you go over the rules, and it's, you know, as you were pointing out, in Colorado, before they changed these rules, the Republicans were dominating. The Republic, or the citizens of Colorado were wise enough to vote down the idea of all-mail ballots, right? Because it's obvious what the problems are. You don't have to be an election law genius to see that. And the Democrats are like, okay, so then they went back, basically they backdoored it with the help, you said, of Republicans. So now you have all-mail ballots. Then you start, you know, use the emergencies under COVID. So you don't have to have, you know, voter IDs. You don't have to verify signatures. You know, in some states, you can count the ballots days and after the polls have closed that keep coming in, raising the question, where were they? They have all of these things and ballot harvesting, which is legal. And I think people don't understand how important it is for Republicans to do that. It's as you said, when you're coming up on election day and you realize, okay, you know, 50% of people in this key Senate District 8, you know, these precincts have not voted. We need to be calling those people. We need to be knocking on the doors and we need to be reaching out. I think the Republicans don't do that nearly as well as the Democrats. I mean, it doesn't even come close.
Do it. You can't do it unless you know, or else you're calling people or they send in your ballot, unless you're tracing, and you can. It's not hard. I mean, it's on these various apps. We do none of it. We do none of it. I mean, it's as if, and I say in the column, the Republican Party tied its arm behind its back, and it's just getting pummeled. I mean, it's obvious a lot of it is intentional. A lot of it are really... Democrats who pretend they're Republicans, and then the press gives them all things. So you think it's bipartisan. This is great.
Well, and in its own way, if you're a Republican, the Republican donor class, it's also a way to keep things under control, right? The last thing they want is a Ron Hanks, a Dave Williams, a Greg Lopez, a grassroots Republican that they don't control to get into office. So they would rather, I've said this before, Colorado Peak Politics, the day Jared Polis was elected, said, hey, we can work with Jared Polis. Yeah, and, you know, how's that working out for you? But I mean, they would rather work with a Joe O'Day, or they'd rather work rather with a Michael Bennett than they would with a Ron Hanks, because they know Ron Hanks is not going to basically sell his soul to them. And I think that you're right. It's not an accident that these things are not being addressed.
For 20 years.
Yeah, 22.
Yeah, and then you get Dick Wadhams. I mean, you know, I've known Dick for a long time, but you know, he just tells it like it is. We're not going to support any grassroots candidates, but you have a requirement to go out there and support our rhinos.
Well, and Charlene, what issues are the rhinos running on? Stop fentanyl by criminalizing it instead of building a wall from stopping to come it in? Well, exactly, Charlene. That's Joe O'Day's position, I think. And from Stephen, Charlene, is any Republican talking about the invasion on the southern border? Not in Colorado. They're not. They are hammering home when you look at Barbara Kirkmeyer's ads, Eric Audlin's ads, Joe O'Day's ads, they talk about crime. That's basically it. And the economy. Now the economy is smart, right? And I will say this, Joe O'Day, he did a good job on CNN when they said, well, what would you do to fix the economy? And he rattled off right away. We'd get oil and gas going again. We'd, you know, get energy prices down, et cetera, et cetera. And then he went ahead and said, and by the way, I'd like to say, well, after we campaign against Donald Trump, and now I'm going to have my glass with ice beer, you know, so he didn't do himself any favors there.
That's incredible stuff.
Well, do you see, let me ask you this, Chuck, and then I want to talk about the Danchenko trial here for a few minutes. But you and I talk about this all the time, because I used to think that there was hope, right? That sooner or later, the donors would get tired of losing. And, you know, so they just keep their money and then grassroots could play. But I don't know that anymore, because, again, I become kind of convinced that some of the donor class and the consultants, well, the consultants only do what the donors class wants them to, but they're happy to work with, if they can't get a Republican they can control, they're happy to work with the Democrat.
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's good business. So they don't try too hard to get the Republicans in. I mean, you could control the Republican Party with incredibly little money. Just give a few hundred thousand to the IEC and you own the Republican Party in Colorado. That's how cheap it is.
That's right. Well, and this from Jim, you know, well, going back to the censorship question, talking about the election deniers, You know, you've got the Department of Justice now, the American Medical Association, I think prodded by the Biden administration, sends a letter saying that they want to prosecute, I would use the word persecute, anybody who questions all of this transgender stuff, right? They cancel you, they ban you. Look what they've done to Kanye West. It's like, who would think that our heroes would be, you know, Elon Musk and Kanye West anymore? But Jim, but it does have an impact. Jim Jackson says the old Peter Boyles would have had a fit over the raid, the FBI raid on Trump or Mike Lindell. I mean, there are a lot of people who would, who just don't say anything anymore because, you know, then PayPal says, hey, if we don't like what you're saying now, we're going to go ahead and fine you $2,500.
Now they said, ourselves.
Yeah, and they, give it to ourselves. And then they said, well, we kind of don't mean that, but they just took off the misinformation label. I mean, they made it clear there are other things that they can do that for. So the censorship is only going to get worse. And again, we've seen the DOJ wanting to, you know, weaponize it against people who just disagree with them as opposed to, oh, I don't know, prosecuting actual criminals. So with that, actually, that leads us into the Danchenko trial. You want to update?
Well, Danchenko was, you know, he was originally facing five counts of lying to the FBI, our FBI. The judge dismissed one because he said, they asked him, did you talk to Dolan about this? He said, no. And they said, well, okay, you emailed him, you know, and they said, no, you can't say talked when he meant, you know, lying is not true. So he dismissed that. The other four charges were all found not guilty in a pretty quick fashion, day and a half by the jury. And it leaves the special prosecutor with a grand total of one pled guilty and two acquittals. Compare that to Mueller. And all the people, obscure people,
the January 6th committee, the January 6th people, you know.
I mean, it's just shocking. And so it leaves us with, I think we have a pretty good idea what the FBI's role. We have no idea about the CIA's role. We have no idea about what is happening over in London when they got Papadopoulos and who brought them down to Italy and all of that. We don't know who set up the fake website. DC documents who printed something saying
the fake DC hack.
They were Lucifer too, and here's some of the documents. This is just a opposition research on Trump, so negative to Trump. So the huge number of portions that we don't know now, we probably never know. And the FBI continues on as a corrupt, dishonest organization. The Department of Justice, corrupt, dishonest.
And I think Danchenko did a good job during the trial because in a way he discredited his own case by, I mean, I'm sure if you're a juror, by demonstrating pretty clearly that the FBI knew Danchenko was making it up, knew Steele was making it up, didn't care and went ahead with it anyway, right? And so it's pretty hard to convict somebody of lying to the FBI when the prosecutor himself has done a pretty good job of showing the FBI, you know, was happy to be lied to and in fact was encouraging you to lie to them, paying you $200,000 to lie to them. And I think he did do a good job of exposing just how corrupt the FBI and the Department of Justice were, that the agents clearly knew Danchenko was making this up. They clearly knew Steele was making it up. They were willing to pay him $1 million. And apparently that's the kind of thing that had to go all the way to the top of the FBI. So this wasn't a group of rogue agents, right? You had some agents in there, it was clear during the testimony, who kept raising questions about the Danchenko thing, saying, right, hey, you know, we don't have any evidence of that. And then the supervisor agents, the testimony would say, no, that's fine. And then they would turn around and use it to get the FISA warrant, which led to the whole crossfire hurricane thing. So we did a good job of showing that. I think another thing, though, that they didn't get at is, well, who exactly at the FBI said, go ahead and do this? Who exactly at the Department of Justice? And how involved was Obama and the people in his administration, don't you think?
No, you're absolutely right. There's no indication of that. There's no indication of when they put that 17 intelligence agencies together deal saying, oh yeah, clearly the Russian interfered with the election. None of that. Nothing about the Senate Judiciary Committee, or I think it's not Judiciary, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, who said, yeah, oh yeah, there's Russian interference. And the whole dirty deal by Burr and some of the other ones on that committee. I mean, there's a huge outpour of dirty dealings that will never be exposed And how deep into the Obama administration, obviously Obama was part of it. Is he everything above the book, everything dirty and above the book? And he's kept quiet and he's smart, you know, don't.
Right. Right. Well, no, and you're right. And to me, interestingly, the most innocent people in all of that is the Hillary Clinton campaign. Yeah, they were the ones who launched it. They were the ones who started the lies about the DNC hack. But she at least had a reason to, right? I mean, she was running for office, so you'd expect her to do it. But then the willingness, because initially I was like, was this whole thing a plot that just kind of came together in pieces? And to me, one of the things that came out of the Danchenko trial is that no, this was kind of organized. The Clinton campaign people, the DNC, the FBI, the Department of Justice were all working together to push a certain narrative, and they were all using each other to push the narrative, all aimed at trying to get Trump.
And also the Mueller investigation,
right?
Totally fraudulent one, spent hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars, and never said, oh yeah, this whole thing was a fraud.
Right, right.
I mean, those guys ought to, I mean, I don't know, they just ought to put a fence up around Washington and have that be a prison. I mean, it's just extraordinary.
The gulag. Well, yeah. And you know, the one thing, like you said, there are a lot of things we don't know. But here's, I think, what the FBI and the Department of Justice and all those corrupt people do know now. And that is they will not be held accountable. They won't be held accountable by the worst that's going to happen to them is they're going to have to quit and get a media gig at CNN or MSNBC, right? I mean, Brennan, Peter Strzok, all of those people. There's no accountability. And I think
accountability for the Washington Post and New York Times for constantly, all they got was but Pulitzer Prize awards for fraudulent false reporting.
Exactly. And I think all of that directly led, and this to me is the most dangerous thing, to where we are now. It's one thing, and awful enough, to weaponize the Department of Justice to lie and make up investigations and to perpetuate it and do search warrants on Donald Trump, right? But it's another thing, what they learned to do was to start doing it now on just average, everyday American citizens who aren't, you know, who aren't towing the line, who are saying things that they don't want to be said out loud, and that we're seeing that kind of weaponization and prosecution. We saw that with the Department of Justice admittedly and openly saying, yeah, we're going back through all of the old criminal cases that were dropped by local law enforcement agencies against Christians who were protesting outside abortion centers. And we're going to go ahead now and go back through, and we're going to charge them with federal crimes. Not only are we going to charge them with federal crimes, we're going to send the SWAT team in with guns pointed at their children to arrest them after they've told us they would turn themselves in. I mean, the only thing they're trying to do is intimidate there. Look at what's going on in January 6th. If you're, you know, a child molester or, you know, somebody who's killed somebody or carjacker, you get out of jail on no bond. But these January 6th people, it's going on, almost 2 years now, right, that they've been held without bail. And then the Department of Justice, and with parents, right? The Department of Justice has the School Board Association write a letter saying, oh, we're scared about parents. So boom, now we're investigating parents. The FBI is doing surveillance and following Mike Lindell around to Hardee's so they can seize his cell phone. Don't even get me started. As well, you all know, what they've done to John Eastman.
You think that Joe O'Dea could run on those things rather than running against Trump? You think, you know, saying, I'll help control the FBI. I'll do whatever it takes to rein in the Justice Department, you know, just all of those things. Instead of talking about how you'll run against Donald Trump, make sure he's not the nominee.
Right.
I mean, you know, that it's just amazing what amount you could run on. And he runs on none of it. He runs on none of it other than he's not really a partisan person. And therefore, he'll be almost like a Democrat.
Well, and, you know, back to Carrie Lake, she's already said, hell no, COVID vaccines for schools if I'm governor, right? I mean, that's the kind of thing. If I were a candidate, I would be getting out in front of that right now and saying, now they want to try to force your kids to get the COVID vaccine. Because that's something all of the numbers show. Parents have, almost like, 1% of kids under 6 have been vaccinated. I'm like 1 out of 3. I mean, you know, 6 2012. Parents have, by huge majorities, rejected getting their kids vaccinated. And you think they would not respond? I mean, I could see, forget abortion, I could see that being a single issue kind of voting thing, right? It's like, no, if you will promise me right now that you will make sure that schools cannot require kids to get COVID vaccines or any other vaccines that the big pharma just cook up out of the blue, right? Then that person would get my vote. I mean, I think that would be effective, but you're right. You know, we don't see them saying that. Instead, he wants to talk about Donald Trump.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's just what the Republican Party in Colorado is disgusting. I mean, it really is. It's got some good people, you know, the Randy Corcorans and some others, but it's chock full of the Don Quorums and all the other rhino.
Right.
Betrayers.
Well, and this is just a couple more comments, and then it's kind of time to wrap it up. Charlene says, you know, confuses me why O'Day thinks he's going to get Dem votes by distancing from Trump. And then Stephen says, Char, what's going on there is it's just pandering, plain and simple. Yeah, and I think, Charlene, some consultant must have told O'Day, you know, people who are watching CNN might be independent voters. If you kind of blurt that out, then maybe they'll vote for you. And the Republicans, as we all know, have to unify and stand behind you and hold their nose and vote for you. But I don't think it worked. As we said earlier, all of the establishment rhino media, even they didn't touch that because they knew that that is not going to look good. So
amazing.
I don't know. Huh?
Amazing.
Amazing. Amazing. Okay. Well, hey, that's going to wrap it up for today, guys. Thank you for all of the great comments. I'll be posting the show. Remember, you can get all of our shows at chuckandjulie.com. There are links to Rumble, Podbean, Apple iTunes, all of those links. On Friday, we're working on another, and I don't want to say too much about it yet, but another school issue that's going to surprise you. I got an email from one of the listeners in Greeley, and we're looking into that. And then who knows? I mean, you know, ballots are going out. We'll have to see when returns start coming in too. So we'll be keeping an eye on that. Meanwhile, though, Chuck, you have to get back to work, huh? World headquarters.
Get back to work and get out the good word.
All right. Hey, everybody, thank you so much for listening. Thanks to the great guys at BBS. We'll see you all on Party Friday.
Take care, everyone.
BBS Radio TV, leading you out of the darkness.